The way God continues to bless us, the way God continues to heal us, and I'm not talking about just the physical healing. It is great to know that we have a God that, yes, does deal in the physical healing. But I'm talking about a Savior who saved me, saved you from everlasting damnation, from all total brokenness. You see, life itself will give you a little picture of that. Have you ever been broken thinking you can't get up again? Have you ever had things happen in your life that you thought was the worst thing that could ever happen, and you know nothing is ever going to make it right again? And then later on you find out you're still walking around, you're still breathing. And then longer it goes, then all of a sudden you think, now what was that we were into it over? I suggest you don't do that, to bring that back up again. But I want you to know something. There's a Savior who loves us so much that not only did He bring back up again life and what the purpose of life, He resurrected life again from those who are dead. I'm talking about a Savior who so loves us. Oh, it makes me, let's just stand and read it together. Please. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. May God's blessings be upon the reading of His holy word. Thank you. You may be seated. I continually say, look at it and read it. Look at the words. I know you've memorized it, but look at the words as you're reading, as your memory kicks in. Because I'm talking about somebody. I'm just not talking about a friend that I have. I'm talking about the friend that will never turn his back on me, that will always be there. I'm talking about somebody. And my friends, the question is, who is God the Son? Well, His name is Jesus. Don't you forget that name. His name is Jesus. His name was given to Him. This earthly name, Jesus, was given to Him. And in Hebrew, you're talking about Yahshua. But Jesus is who we know Him by. His name by His Father in heaven. Now, look at what the angel tells Joseph when Jesus is born. Matthew 1:21. Speaking of Mary, he says, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. God named him. It's a name above all names. I'm talking about somebody. I'm talking about a personality that will not only make a difference in your life and change your life. I'm talking about a personality that will live your life, be with you continually. I'm talking about somebody. Amen. His name is Jesus, because He will save His people from their sins. God hates sin. I read it in the book. God hates sin. I know why He hates sin. Because sin corrupts His children and destroys the heart of His children. And God does not like anybody messing with His family. Who is God the Son? God the Son is the very one, the very human element, the very spiritual element. He is the very working and mouth of Almighty God. He has always been. There has never been a time when God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit did not exist. I told you last week, don't ask the foolish question of who created God. God is spirit. God is love. God is all in all. And He's so loved that He knew you and I as His creation, the most important of His creation. Now, I keep saying that and hoping one day we'll get it. We're important to God. Now, if I'm important to God, then what does all the rest of the garbage of life have to do with me? My God is spirit. Do you know your spirit? Your spirit walking around in the flesh? Jesus, that's who He is. God in flesh. I want you to know just the power in the name of Jesus. And I want you to know a fact. There's a big argument. And not in the secular realm, but in the Christian realm. Well, the God of the Old Testament, because He brought about destruction and brought about judgment, He was so stern. That God is not the same God of the New Testament. Well, would you get a life? And those of you teaching that, please, get on your knees in prayer and let the Holy Spirit slap you around a while, because you are wrong. There is one God, one Son, one Holy Spirit, three in one. It's called a triunity of Almighty God. And Jesus happened to be the God of the Old Testament and the God of the New Testament. Amen. You do not separate Him. Books of the Old Testament are the historical books of the prophets and the law that tells us the story. And Jesus is there to tell it Himself. Wait a minute, preacher. He's not born yet. Yeah, pay attention to me. Yes, He is. He's already in existence. He has not born in the flesh. Did you know that every time you will hear the Lord's name spoken of walking in Mamre or walking in the valley or any of this confronting any of the prophets, when they recognized Him as the Lord, that was Jesus before He was born. Yes, He was. That was Jesus before He was born. Listen to the scripture. Listen to Colossians 1, verses 15 through 20. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. It was Jesus who said, look, when you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. It was Jesus who let the Pharisees know, if you believed in the Father, you would believe in Me. For He sent Me. If you don't know Me, you don't know My Father. And made them angry. Of course, they were angry when they got there. Jesus was telling them something. I am God the Father with you. That's love. See, I can't be with my son. I can't be with my grandson. I can't be with my loved ones all the time. But my Father in heaven can be with me all the time. Amen. And He sent His Son Jesus to make sure that we are signed, sealed, and already delivered. People say, I'm waiting to be delivered. Folks, I'm already there. You see, I know Jesus. I read the I know the promise. And I know that my salvation is in His name. Not any other name, not in good works, not in good deeds, but in His name. I know Him. And I get excited because He knows me. Yes. Now you listen to me, Christian. Jesus loves you. Jesus knows you. Jesus cares about you. He cares about every little scratch and blemish that hit you. Jesus cares. He is God Almighty in physical form. Oh, God said, I'm going to seal you now. I'm going to seal you in. I'm going to seal you in my love. I'm going to seal you in my power. Do we not understand that in the Scripture we already know? Remember the rock that gave water to the Israelites as they were traveling in exile? The Scripture tells us that rock was Jesus. The fire that kept them lit at night that they followed, that was Jesus. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. I am the door. Remember Jesus saying all this? Okay, let's go back to the Old Testament. Moses said, the Lord, who shall I say has sent me? You tell him I am sent you, Moses. I am that I am. Read your New Testament. Notice that Jesus refers to himself as I am. You remember when they came to get him for the trial in the garden? Remember that? It's a story that's not even preached on that much. But you remember as they come up to the garden and Jesus is looking at his disciples and they are in a mess. Well, they are acting just like we do. They are in a mess, his disciples. And the guards are coming for him. And they say, we're looking for this man, Jesus. And nothing was said. Then they said it again. And listen to what Jesus says. And what happened? Jesus says to them, I am He. But here's what people forget in that scripture. At the moment he said, I am He, all of them fell on their faces on the ground. They could not stand in the presence of Almighty God, for He had come. And He said, let my people go. Let them go. You want me? I am He. I am has come. When Jesus Christ came into my heart, He says, I am your only way. I am personal with you. I am. That's who Jesus is. He's God Almighty. You see, God's promise to us was to give us life and let us live it. Why? I don't have idea. But I do know this. It's God. I do know this. That this physical body is nothing but the beginning. I'm still the chicken in the egg here. I'm in the shell. Gosh, some of us, we are in such a shell. It's in our heads. Or those hard-shelled eggs. You know, Jesus says, I'm coming in to live inside of you. Your head is not so hard that I can't penetrate it. Because I love you. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. Listen, He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. He existed before anything was created. He is the first of God's creation, Jesus. People said, they must be close. Oh, are they ever close? They have never been separated. It would be impossible. The only thing that could separate Jesus from God the Father would be a thing known as sin. And Jesus lived a sinless life. There's nothing that he had not seen or knew was going to happen. But he took on that human physical image to live for you and me. He was going to conquer all that hell or life could ever throw at me. But he had to be in human form, because I am human. You are human. So he had to live the human existence. So God came down. And Jesus is his name. And he came to go right there on a cross. Yeah. Had to. Do you know that before time existed, all three, God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, existed? Told you that, remember? Never, ever separated. Do you know only one time that would ever take place to where Jesus would be separated from God the Father, would be here on planet Earth because of you and me? You see, somebody had to die for our sins, the sins of humanity. God chose to die for me through his Son Jesus, for you. Jesus is nailed to a cross and he's crying out, Abba, Father, Abba, Hebrew, Daddy, Daddy. Why have you forsaken me? First time before history, after history, eternal, that God the Son was separated from God the Father and receiving all the pain that could ever exist, a pain of hell itself in the life of Jesus. As they were mocking him, he couldn't die. Hadn't mentioned your name yet. Hadn't mentioned my name yet. His Father's in control. Man said they were. They didn't do too hot, did they? His Father's in control. And Jesus died for every individual human being that ever existed. Well, for the lost, sure. He died for the lost. That's why it's so foolish to stay separated from Christ. He died when you were in an unbelieving state for you and for everyone else. But he said, whosoever believes. Do you notice? He didn't deal in socialism or communism and say, you will believe in me. He said, I love you so much, I want you to believe in me. Here's life. I give it to you. But it cost him. You and I will never ever feel that pain of being separated from God the Father. Can't happen to us. Jesus sealed it. He made sure that he suffered that so you and I would never have to as Christians. Now listen to him. For through him God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. Oh, those are beautiful shots that David has fixed up for me on the universe and all that is going on. Beautiful. Jesus did that. You hear me? But folks, Jesus, God incarnate, Jesus is the creator. Hear me. Listen. He made the things we can see, talking about Jesus. The scripture says he made the things we can see and things we can't see. Woo! It is beautiful what I can see. I can't even imagine what I can't see, but I do know for a fact he did it. That's who God the Son is. He is the creator, such as thrones and kingdoms and rulers and authorities in the unseen world. What in the world is he talking about? The angelic realm? The other realms that you and I don't know about it? Oh no, we theologians know everything. Smartest theologian are the individuals who realize they don't know anything. Because there's no end to the knowledge of God, the wisdom of God, but hear me, to his love. Everything was created through him and for him. So, God's word tells us that everything was created through him and for him. Let me go on verse 17. He existed before anything else. And he holds all creation. All creation together. Christ is also the head of the church. That's the body of united together. Where two or three are gathered together, there I am in the midst of them. Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning, supreme over all, who rise from the dead. See, he's supreme. He conquered death, and he rose from the dead. And at the great resurrection, oh, that dirt that you were made out of is going to be molded back together as a glorified body. God's going to do that. His beloved Son, in whom he was well pleased. Here's something you may not have thought of. When God allowed his Son Jesus to be born in Bethlehem of Judea, born of flesh, Jesus had the freedom to choose. Many people say, well, he didn't have a choice. That's not true. Jesus had to conquer choice. He had to make the right choice. So he was 100% human, and as 100% human, he had the freedom to choose to go against God the Father. Aren't you glad he chose rightly? Amen. He chose to love you and me. Supreme over all, who rise from the dead. So, he is first in everything. Is he first in your life? Is he first in your playtime? Is he first in your wallet? Is he first in your thoughts? Is he first on your tongue? Man, that's a wicked thing. Woo! You know how bad it is? It was God who said, no man can tame it. And I believe it. You can't even hold on to it. That tongue. For God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ. Now we got who God the Son is. Was pleased to live in Christ. And through him, God reconciled everything to himself. You and I are a part of the everything. Reconciled to God the Father. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means, listen to me, Christ's blood on the cross. By means of Christ's blood on the cross. That's how he did it. And I believe it. And because of the love of Christ, you and I are given the freedom to accept that power. There's power in that blood. There's power in the name of Jesus. Why are we so hesitant about using Jesus' name? Well, it's just not appropriate in some realms. Well, I suggest you get out of that realm. Or I suggest while you're in that realm that you're talking about, that you start mentioning Jesus, because that's the only name under heaven by which a person can be saved. I don't care what denomination you're a part of. I care that you know Jesus. It's not in what you know. It's in the who. But you let me tell you something, Christians. Something that God takes very seriously. And you need to think about it when you're speaking out in public or around others. Don't you dare, as a Christian, think that God is going to bless your life when you stand firm and solid a saying that abortion is okay. It ain't. It's murder. And you either stand your ground on it or you need to shut up about being a child of God. We need to start standing for the truth. God says it's okay to slaughter His creation, His babies. I don't know what God you're serving, but it ain't the God I'm preaching on. God said there's one man, one woman in a marriage, not two women. Well, preacher, you just hurt my feelings. Well, good, but I love you. And I am not going to tell you a lie. When the Scripture says it, believe it. But I love these folks. So do I. So do I. That's why I will not lie. But you need to focus on life. Focus on the truth of life. The purpose of life. The peace in life. The peace that passes all understanding. Focus on it. For when you focus on the name Jesus, the light of life will glow in you. You will feel a love that supersedes all understanding. Don't you hurt when those you love hurt? Doesn't that hurt you? Don't you hurt when you know that those you love are going in the wrong direction and you're standing there, you're sitting there, you're on your knees and you don't know what to do? Doesn't mean you don't love them. It means you do love them. And you're hurting. Lord, what can I do? And then we come up with this foolish comment. Well, all that's left is prayer. It's all you had to begin with. But don't you dare ever compromise the holy word of God just because it's someone you love. If you love them, stand strong and true to the word of God and let Him straighten it out. This stuff is over my head. Now you listen to me. Your pastor does not know how to deal with it. I have a whole lot of homosexual friends, folks. Had them when they were in prison and all. Have a lot of them. But I've never lied to one of them. But I love them. I want them. Okay. Chaplain Vance, tell me what I can do. I don't know what to tell you because it's over my head. I don't understand it. It's over my head. But what's not over my head is when God says, don't do it. Well, let's just say that it's okay. No. I will love. I will hug. I know a lot of folk who have had an abortion. Oh, my heart breaks for the moms that's happened to. I get angry at sin. I get angry at the cause. I wished every doctor that would perform these illegitimate abortions would hear the cry of every baby. every night before they go to sleep, all night long, throughout the rest of eternity, they'll hear those cries. Do you know what will stop the death from coming to their ears? Accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior. See, that's why it's over my head. Because I assure you, as soon as one who murders, rapes, aborts children, or does anything else on this, as soon as they fall to their knees and say, Lord, forgive me, they are going to be in the same heaven I'm going to be. Amen. For that's what forgiveness is. It's of the Lord, not of man. It's over my head. Do I understand eternity? It's over my head. I'm not even understanding today. It's over my head. But you know what? I know who's over my head. And I know who the true judge is. I know who the true righteous leader is. And I will preach his word. For it's the call. Not just mine, but yours too. What do I do? You love them through it. Loving. Well, I want to straighten them out. You ain't going to do that. It has to come from within. And you will love them. See, Jesus loves me. Even though it's a little hard up here sometimes. Jesus loves me. That's why he softened the heart. Because it was obvious. The human being is not going to let it go through that head. You got it? It's a gift from God. Love. 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 Well, it don't get better than that, Brother Randy. Amen.